Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 180 to close at 26,447. S&P 500 Index down 16 at 2,885. NASDAQ Composite down 91 to finish at 7,788. Russell 2000 Small and Mid-Cap Stocks down 14 at 1,632. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 3 basis points at 3.22%. Oil down 4 cents at $74.29 per barrel. Gold up $3 at $1,203.70 per ounce. The economy added 134,000 new jobs in September. The unemployment rate dropped to 3.7%. It's the lowest level since December 1969. The change in total non-farm payroll employment for July was revised up from 147,000 to 165,000. August was revised up from 201,000 to 270,000. Employment gains for August and July revised up by a combined 87,000. The economy has gained an average of 208,000 jobs each month in 2018. The 134,000 jobs gained in September was well below estimates for about 170,000 to 180,000. And we had had encouraging economic reports earlier in the week from ADP showing private payrolls increasing at a 230,000 pace, plus the ISM report showed increases in their employment indexes. There's little evidence that those mildly disappointing figures suggest a broader slowdown. The September jobs report extended the current run of monthly job growth to 8 straight years. That's double the previous record. The current economic expansion is already one of the longest on record, and there's no sign that it's losing steam. Economic output last quarter increased at its fastest pace in 4 years, and the current quarter looks strong as well. Yields on U.S. government bonds have risen sharply in recent days. That might be an indication that investors expect faster growth, maybe some more inflation in coming years. Now, there is a chance that the September report has statistical noise and perhaps does not accurately reflect the labor market. And the reason for that aberration is Hurricane Florence may have weighed on job growth in the region. We saw something similar with hurricanes at this time last year. After Harvey and Irma, job growth recovered in the final months of 2017. The number of workers across the country who stayed home because of weather increased by some 276,000 last month on a non-seasonally adjusted basis. That compared with a median 7,000 rise over the past 10 September jobs reports. The storm likely affected too limited of an area and struck too late during the week of labor's survey to have a meaningful impact. Workers are counted as employed as long as they show up for any part of their pay period. Also, the storm might have muddied measures of earnings and working hours, at least in some industries. Average hourly wages rose 0.3% in September to $27.24. But wage increases over the past 12 months slowed to 2.8% from 2.9% reading the previous month. Average weekly hours of all private employees flat at 34.5. Average weekly hours of all private service providing employees flat at 33.3. Average weekly hours of manufacturers fell 1/10 of an hour at 38.9 hours. The labor force participation rate, the share of adults who are working or actively looking for work, unchanged in September. It's been more or less flat for several years. The labor force participation rate was unchanged in September at 62.7%. The strong labor market has not been strong enough to provide jobs for the long-term unemployed. 1.38 million workers who've been unemployed for more than 26 weeks and still want a job, This is up from 1.33 million in August. The U6 unemployment rate increased 0.1% to 7.5%. Involuntary part-time work increased 263,000. U6 includes unemployed plus underutilized, or people working part-time but they'd like full-time jobs, plus marginally attached workers, which is a way of saying people who are out of work and might not otherwise be counted, even though they might like to find work. The strong job market is not yet pulling in workers from the sidelines, at least not enough to offset the exodus of retiring baby boomers. The economy gained 23,000 construction jobs and 18,000 manufacturing jobs, maybe a sign that businesses continue to expand their operations. The biggest gainer in September, professional and business services employment, which grew by 54,000 and could be another indication of a thriving employment picture despite the relatively weak overall headline number in the report. Healthcare added 30,000, transportation and warehousing 24,000. Leisure and hospitality lost about 17,000 jobs, suggesting Hurricane Florence might have been a factor. The retail sector lost 20,000 jobs. Government added 13,000. Now, it's important to remember that this is a national jobs report. Results vary from town to town, county to county. Some parts of the country are seeing much faster labor force growth than others, both from young people entering the workforce and from people moving in and out of state. A growing labor force means more workers are competing for the same jobs. So faster job growth is needed to keep unemployment low. Generally, a growing labor force and low unemployment rate is a sign that a local economy is healthy and job growth is strong. When the economy is weak, there aren't enough new jobs for an expanding workforce, so the jobless rate goes up. The metro area with the tightest labor market, Ames, Iowa, just 1.7% unemployment, followed by Idaho Falls, Idaho. The metro area with the worst job market, Yuma, Arizona, at 22% unemployment. The labor market data also shows large inequities by race, ethnicity, education, and gender. A smaller share of African Americans, for example, are employed, 58.7%, compared to 60.6% of whites. And while a larger share of Hispanics are employed than is the case for whites, their unemployment rate is also higher, with 4.5% compared to 3.3% for whites. Moreover, the employed share of women is much lower than that of men. Furthermore, employment opportunities go up with education. The employed share of people with at least a bachelor's degree was 72.1% in September, while the employed share of people without a high school degree was only 43.5% at the same time. Wage gaps further exacerbate the differences in job opportunities by race, ethnicity, gender, and education. African Americans had median usually weekly earnings of $683. Hispanics had earnings of $674, while whites earned $907 in the second quarter of 2018. Moreover, full-time employed women had median usual weekly earnings of $779 at the same time compared to $962 for men. And those without a high school degree typically earned $554 when working full-time, while those with at least a bachelor's degree earned $1,310 in the second quarter of 2018. But gaps in employment opportunities and wages are not the end of the story on inequality. African Americans and those with less education tend to be out of jobs longer when they are unemployed than is the case for whites and those with more education. In September 2018, for example, the average length of unemployment for African Americans was 30.3 weeks, compared to 24.2 weeks for whites. On its face, today's jobs report was largely disappointing, just 134,000 jobs added. Several mitigating factors, though. Hurricane Florence likely reduced employment in the Carolinas, and labor has routinely underestimated payroll gains in September, only to subsequently revise them higher. Also, job gains for July and August were revised higher by some 87,000. As a result, the Fed is likely to shrug off the disappointing jobs total and raise its key rate in December for a fourth time this year. Keep in mind that the unemployment rate is at a 48-year low. Also consider that in 1969, the last time the unemployment rate was this low, consumer prices rose 5.9% that year. Currently, that measure is 2.7%, so in many ways, the economy is much stronger now than then. The 3.7% unemployment rate is much lower than the 4.5% rate that most folks thought represented full employment. And yet, we haven't seen a significant bounce in wages. The truth is, we don't know how low unemployment can go without overheating the economy. Earlier this week, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the U.S. economy is a long way from neutral. Maybe. Or maybe we're finally going to see wage gains heat up. Amazon lit the match this week, announcing it would raise the company-wide minimum wage to $15 per hour, more than double the federal minimum wage. Attracting and retaining quality employees is important, especially for a retailer heading into a busy holiday season. We may still be a long way from wage push inflation, but the labor market is getting a bit tighter. Stocks fell sharply today. At one point earlier in the session, the Dow was down 325 points. The S&P 500 broke its 50-day moving average but managed to recover slightly. Tech, the worst performer on the day. The NASDAQ notched its worst week since March. For the week, the S&P 500 was down 1%, the NASDAQ down 3.2%, and the Dow was down just a fraction despite hitting record highs earlier in the week. And don't forget the big move up in the yield on the 10-year Treasury note. 134,000 new jobs in September, the unemployment rate at 3.7%. Dow Industrials today down 180 at 26,447. S&P 500 down 16 at 2885. NASDAQ Composite down 91 at 7788. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.